I look back and what I thought I was living. I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay, and the thing that I ignored would really matter, 'cause I thought the sacrifice would be too great.
I our hearts if we could. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come one more time this morning, Lord, it's, Lord, with great humbleness, Father, and Lord, knowing, Father, that, Lord, we're not worthy, Father, but Lord, you look down, Father, Lord, before the foundation of the world, Father, and you made us worthy this morning to stand, Lord. God, for that we are so thankful this morning, Lord. Now, God, I'm asking, Father, that, Lord, you would take this vessel of flesh, Lord, and God, would you use it, Father, as a conduit, Father, to deliver your word this morning, Lord. Lord, I'm asking, Father, that, Lord, these that are under the sound of our voice this morning, Lord, there's needs, Father, amongst us, Lord. And, Lord, we know, Father, that you saw those needs before the foundation of the world, Lord. And, God, maybe some, Lord, would be awesome needs this morning, Lord. Maybe, Lord, that they're dealing with, God. But, Lord, I'm so thankful, Father, that you're an ever-present help in the time of need this morning, Lord. God, that you'll inhabit the praises of your people, Lord. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, there in their midst you'd be, Father. And Lord, I know you're here this morning, God, because, Lord, I brought you with me this morning, Father. And Lord, I'm asking, dear God, that, Lord, you would come and stir the heart of the believer this morning, Lord, that, God, maybe they would be able to grasp a hold, Father, of that which they have need this morning. Lord, as you pass by their way this morning. Now, Lord, we take every foul spirit that would try to hinder this service under the subjection of your word this morning, and we defy that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, we bind that devil, and Lord, we're asking, God, that you would come and you'd be free in this place once more to Lord. Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the glory for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Psalms chapter 95, verse 1. We'll just get right into the word this morning. And, certainly want to say we enjoyed ourselves last night and enjoyed the fellowship with one another, and you know it's always good that you can go to a place and not have any barriers, you know, not have any of the funny things that you have to be guarded with. It's a real privilege to go to a place like that. We certainly enjoy that, appreciate the church here, Brother Tony, all of those things, but let's look here in the Bible here at Psalms 95, verse 1. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Lord bless you. You can have your seats for just a little while this morning. We'll try to not hold you real long this morning, and they always kind of laugh at me when I say that, you know, but we seem like every time I say that, those are some of the longest services that we have, but truly this morning we're going to do our very best to be brief and to try to do something that would edify the Lord and maybe bring him honor this morning, amen, because that is the desire of our heart this morning, amen. I'd like to look at a thought for a little while, if we may, at give us an unfettered praise. Give us an unfettered praise. Now, we realize that word unfettered means to be loose, to be set free. We realize that fetters are something that something that would bind us. Amen. You would take a prisoner, and many times they take those handcuffs, and what those handcuffs are essentially is they're fetters. Amen. And they take that man and whatever he's done, or woman, whoever it may be, and what they do is they take them and they tie them up with them handcuffs. What are they doing? They're taking their mobility away. Amen. They're beginning to bind them. They're beginning to subdue them, if you will. Amen. Because we realize that in those situations they've got to subdue the enemy. Amen. And I begin to look here in verse 1 as I do, Sister Vicki, we're going to step back up to verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us give a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Now, we realize that Jesus Christ is the very rock. We realize that a rock signifies a foundation. Amen. We realize that a rock signifies a place that is worthy to be built on. Amen. Because we realize that if we was going to build a house or something like that, you know, the Bible says those that would build on the sand was a foolish man, but the one that built on the rock was a wise man. Amen. And I'm paraphrasing, so just bear with me. But we realize that rock signifies a foundation. Amen. And we realize that the very foundation of Christianity is built on Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. That is the rock of our salvation. Come on, somebody. So it says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Amen. And we realize that the Bible says that He'll inhabit the praises of His people. You say, well, Brother Ben, I come in this morning and I'm so low and I'm so downtrodden. I tell you this morning that if you'll give Him the praise that He's due, He'll come by and he'll take those fetters from off of you. Come on, somebody. He'll be able to come by and He'll take those fetters from off of you. I'm speaking this morning on give us an unfettered praise. You know, a praise that doesn't count on how I feel this morning. A praise that doesn't depend on how many zeros I got in the bank. Come on, somebody. A praise that doesn't count on how the boss is treating me at work. Come on now. A praise that doesn't count on the feeling that I have. Amen. The feeling that the way Brother Tony shook my hand. My praise doesn't count on those things. But it's an unfettered praise, one that I can come to the house of God. Come on, somebody. I can come to the house of God and I can worship Him. I can praise Him. Because we know that Brother Brown said, what you put in is what you'll get out. Amen. And if you take and you don't put nothing in, then you cannot never reap the reward or the benefit of what you have need of. Amen. But if you put it in, it begins to draw interest. It begins to collect interest. And it begins to compound right. Amen. You can't just... You got to invest wisely. You got to invest properly. Come on, somebody. We're talking the spiritual now. But you got to invest properly. You can't just put your money in a bank account because it don't earn nothing. But if you'll put it somewhere, amen. Come on, somebody. Somewhere that it invests properly. You can't come in here with a showy praise, amen. Right. You can't come in here and run the pews just then saying, look at me, look at me. It's not invested properly.
Right.
Come on, somebody. It'll not yield nothing, but whenever God comes down, amen, amen, when God comes down and He sits down right beside you and He begins to talk with you and He begins to discern the very thought and the intent of every heart as the Word does, come on, somebody, as the Word does many times, He'll come down and he'll begin to address things that you and your wife only know about. He'll begin to talk about things that you talked about on the way to service. Yeah. That's not a man, but that's God coming down. And what's He doing? You're operating that gift that God give you. Come on, somebody. Amen. Whether it be Brother Tony or Brother Daniel, when they stand before you, you have a responsibility. Amen. They're nothing in themselves. All they was given was a gift. Amen. And the gift was not given for them, but the gift was given for you. Amen. And you say, well, Brother Ben, I'm not being fed. I'm not being this. I'm not being that. Well, I want to ask you, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about your situation? What are you? You say, Brother Ben, Brother Tony's not addressed this. But what have you done to pull? Amen. Come on, somebody. What have you done to pull that presence sent amongst you to say, God, I need this addressed. I need you to come down. I need you to talk to me. Come on, somebody. I'm offering you an unfettered praise. One that doesn't count on the way I feel. One that doesn't count on the way I come on, somebody. Now, I realize there's a sacrificial praise, and we realize that we've got to have those things. Amen. Because sometimes, Brother Daniel, you come into the house of God, and you don't feel no more like praising God than anything. Amen. Why? Because you're tired. You're beat down. Come on, somebody. The devil's already ran you through the meal for the day. And you come in on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, and here you are. You're so beat down.
Uh-huh. Right.
Come on. You're so beat down until you don't know which way you're going no more. You've lost your hope. You've lost your joy. I say you should be the happiest people on the face of the earth because you've got the truth in this hour. Come on, somebody. And the truth will set you free. Amen. God, give us an unfettered praise. One that doesn't count on this or that or the other. But God, one that is going to be pure. One that's going to be holy. Come on, somebody. And that's not necessarily running the aisles.
No.
You know, you can sit there and you can sit there and everybody's form of worship is different. I can sit there and there's some in the church that they're screamers and they're shouters, and God will move on that. Come on, somebody. Then there's some that'll sit there and they won't say a word, but the old tears will run down their cheek. What are they doing? They're having communion with God. Yeah. What is it? They're giving God an unfettered praise. One that they're not bound to. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Amen. There's something that they're not bound. You know, we come in and we want to just, oh, bless God.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on.
Right.
That old cold denominationalism message. Spirit.
Right.
Well, thank God. Brother Tim's going to sing four songs, and then Brother Tony or Brother Daniel's going to come out, and he's going to deliver an inspiring message. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't expect blind Bartimaeus really said, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you're so good to me. I don't reckon it was probably very quiet. I don't reckon that woman with the issue of blood, she ran up to him. Now remember, she pressed her way through the crowd.
That's right.
She had a need, Brother Daniel, and she looked and she found Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus was coming through the crowd.
Uh-huh.
I say Jesus is what coming through the crowd this morning. You say, Brother Ben, we're just few in number. That doesn't matter. I've seen God moving in a service of seven.
Yeah, right.
And I'm telling you right now, that service of seven might as well have been 700.
Yeah.
Why? Because they came with such need and such anticipation.
That's right.
But you know, we come to the house of God so many times out of duty and out of responsibility. And well, this is just what we're supposed to do. Instead of coming with a great anticipation of what God's going to do.
Right.
Not for this one, not for that one, but what he's going to come down and he's going to do for me personally today.
Amen.
Come on. But we've gotten to where we take it and we want to shuttle it off to the next person. That was for this one, that was for that one. No, you've got to be catchers of the word.
Yeah.
Not fumblers, but catchers.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
You know, a fumbled football, that just means somebody else can grab a hold of it and run with it.
Yeah, that's right.
When the football comes and hits you in the chest, you sit there and go, oh God, will I do that? Before you know it, somebody else comes down and catches your blessing and runs off with it.
Yeah.
Come on. You know what you are? Sometimes you're just a fumbler.
Yeah.
You know what I am? Just sometimes I'm a fumbler because my pride got in the way. I was looking at the big crowd.
Uh-huh.
I was looking at the crowd around the stadium and I got my eye off the ball and the quarterback. The quarterback was looking at me down there and down the field. And he said, this one's for you. And he gave that thing a heave. And here I am.
Right.
Caught in the awe
yep.
of the crowd.
Come on.
Looking at the things around me. Looking at what the
the defenses is doing around me, the ones that are trying to get me off here, and the ones that's trying to, come on somebody, the ones that's trying to get me off there, I'm looking to them instead of watching my quarterback and seeing every move he's making. Jesus is the quarterback this morning. Is that all right this morning?
Yeah.
Come on. Right. I'm just a weirdo. I know. That's okay.
That's all right.
I is who I is, and you can't change who I is. Amen. I'm so thankful you didn't call me. I'm thankful God called me.
Amen.
You know, because I would wanna make that preacher that I called exactly into my own image.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I would wanna make him into my own image. Now don't you get too rowdy there. Don't you say that over there?
Uh-huh.
But I'm so thankful that God or that man didn't call this ministry.
Right.
But he's got a God call. Now, there are some that man did call.
Right.
Amen. And whenever that man that called them is off the scene, they'll lose their anointing.
Yeah.
Because there was a man call. Is that all right this morning? But you look and you know, instead of keeping our eyes on what that quarterback is doing, on what God's doing, we begin to look at the things around us. Because what is it? Those other players are there to distract you. They're there to put their hand in the middle of your face. Come on, somebody. They're there to intercept the ball.
Yeah.
They're there to intercept the blessing. Come on, somebody. How do they do that? They get your mind off of what God's doing. They get your mind off of what God doing, and they pull you off over here to where you're looking at this diversion over here. Well, you're never going to make it. You're never going to be a son of God. You're never going to be healed. And you're looking at that diversion when all the time the quarterback's standing there trying to get your eye. He's standing there, and what is he doing? He's looking for you. He said, get in the open.
Yeah.
He's saying, move over here. Get out of the mix of the thing.
Uh-huh.
Come on, somebody. Get loose. Come on. One of them men there to do for the day. They'll hang on you. They'll hold on to you. They'll do everything they can. Why? Because they're trying to stop you from getting to the open.
Yeah, right.
They're trying to stay between you and the ball. They're trying to do everything they can to intercept that blessing because they have another use for it.
Right.
Come on. And they're sitting there, and all the time we get so caught up on those things. And what do we do is we grab a hold of that fetter.
Uh-huh.
You know, Jesus has already released your fetter.
Yeah.
God already come down, and he already set you free. You can't be any freer than you already are.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be any freer than I already am, Brother Daniel. But we realize that many times our fetter will be loose, but we become so trained to that thing until maybe we don't realize it, but we can see that the fetter's loose, we're untied from that thing, but we become so comfortable with that thing.
Yeah.
Until we ourselves can't release our fetter. Until we can't let go, we're free already.
Yeah.
But yet we refuse to let go of that fetter. We're going to hang on to that pride.
Yeah.
We're going to hang on to that jealousy. We're going to hang on to that malice and that strife. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
We're going to hang on to that hatred for another brother.
Uh-huh.
And all the time God said, I've set you free. Will you be free? But we want to hold on to that fetter, and it anchors us to the ground.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Are we preaching to anybody this morning?
Yeah.
But we want to tie, we want to anchor to that thing, and we say, well, God, I can't let it go. I can't step out because what if I get hurt?
Uh-huh.
Anybody ever been there? I have.
Right.
My hands are up.
Yeah.
I've been there. I've been hurt, and let me tell you, once you've been hurt, it's very hard, Brother Daniel, to let go of yourself
yeah.
and allow yourself to love again.
Right.
to allow yourself to do those things, to allow yourself to let go. Why? Because you say, your natural instinct is to, you're never going to, you might have hurt me once, but you'll never do it again.
Yeah.
I trusted you once, but I'll never do it again. That's the wrong attitude.
Right.
Because you're called to forgive. You say, well, I'll forgive, but I can't forgive.
Yeah.
Okay. Brother Ben will say, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. And y'all don't have that problem. Come on, somebody. Our men will say, I'll forgive you, Brother Tony, but I'm not going to forget what you done to me now. No, you won't never forget it. Not on this side.
Come on, right.
Hello? You won't.
Right.
I'm not going to forget it. But I'm going to choose to not be distracted by the defense. I'm going to choose not to look and be distracted and pulled off to this side or to that side because of that thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose to not let you, come on somebody, inhabit part of my mind. Well, I'm in Van Buren this morning. I'm going to choose to not allow you.
Amen.
I'm going to choose to not allow you to allow that thing to come up and in between me and the ball.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen. What are we talking about? An unfettered praise. Right now we're dealing with your fetters.
Uh-huh.
Right now we're dealing with the fetter that you're bound to.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not hatred. Maybe it's jealousy.
Uh-huh.
Y'all better amen real good if you want me off this subject. You know, if you want a preacher to go real fast, you got to amen him real fast. You know, it's always kind of ironic to me whenever you got an amen and he's right with you till you hit a certain thing and it's all of a sudden. Well, praise God, we're going to stop here for a minute.
That's all right.
I tell Brother Eric at home, he says, I'm going to come down and I'm going to preach on you. I said, well, I'm going to amen you real fast so we get done real fast. That's my pastor. I can do that.
But you know, we go back and forth like that, and I text him this morning as I was getting ready, and I text him, I said, go get him. And he said, not me, you. That's what he says. He said, not me, you. I said, oh no, it's all you this morning, big boy.
Amen. I don't know if you guys have fun like that, but I enjoy my pastor.
Absolutely.
I enjoy my pastor. He's a buddy to me.
Yeah.
He's not just my, but you know what? He's more than a buddy to me. He's my buddy when he's at my house drinking coffee. But whenever I've got a need, I go to him in the office of the pastor.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people get that mixed up.
Uh-huh.
Brother Tony's not your friend. But he is your friend.
Yeah, right.
You got to give Brother Tony the reverence and the respect that Brother Tony, he has to have it. Otherwise, he can't help you.
Yeah.
Brother Tony says amen. He has to have it because he can't help you without that.
Right.
Brother Daniel, he's your friend, and undoubtedly you guys enjoy one another. Undoubtedly, as his assistant, you look and you guys know one another in ways that perhaps nobody else knows one another. At least that's the case at my place.
Right.
We know things about one another that maybe nobody else knows about one another. Why? Because we work in the same field together. And we, you know, you've got to see, Brother Daniel, you've got to believe exactly the way that man believes.
Well, that went over like a lead balloon.
You've got to believe exactly like that man believes, because if you're his associate, you can't preach an uncertain sound.
Right. Right.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
The deacon, Brother Brown said, also, he said, the deacon in the church and the pastor, I don't have it in front of me. I would have to research it and find it, so you just bear with me. But he also said that the deacon and the pastor have to believe the same as well. Why? Why is that? Because if you've got two pulling a different direction, that sows confusion. And people will not follow confusion. People will not follow uncertainty. I won't follow it. But Daniel, if you want to lead me, you better be certain where we're going. And vice versa. Brother Daniel, if I want you to follow me, I better be certain of where I'm taking you. And I better lead with confidence. Say, come on.
Right.
Come on. You may not see where I'm taking, but come on. Because he'll catch that confidence and he'll say, if he's that confident in it, I'm going to give him just the benefit of the doubt and I'm going to allow him to lead me. Because some of y'all say, well, no, I don't have to see it the way Brother Tony sees it. Okay. You don't have to be led by Brother Tony either. Anybody going to say amen?
Amen?
Brother Tony is only the pastor that you'll allow Brother Tony to be to you.
Amen.
Right. Ooh. I don't know what we got on there. But I ain't telling you nothing that's wrong. You've got to allow that man to be your pastor.
Amen.
You say, Brother Tom, Brother Ben, you don't understand. Maybe I don't, but if you call him your pastor, you better treat him as your pastor.
Amen.
You better allow him. Come on, somebody. You say, well, he's lost. God have mercy. Where are you at this morning? You've got to allow the man to be the pastor, and it's not for Brother Daniel to come in or these other brothers, if there is other brothers in here that minister. It's not for you, Brother Daniel, to come in here and to contradict the pastor.
Amen.
If you, I'm not saying that you're not going to see things just a little bit different, but in the end, the substance of the thing is going to be the same.
Amen.
I might go a different way around the barn to get there, but in the end, we're going the same place.
Right.
Come on. That's normal. That's the humanity side. But on the spiritual, on the biblical thing, that's it's going to come in and it's going to hit the same spot.
Amen.
Come on. Now, that's not to say, because you're always going to have different opinions of different things.
Right.
Me and my pastor have different opinions of different things. But we hit the same mark every time. We get the same place every time.
Right.
It's just how we're going to go about getting there. Does that make sense?
Amen.
You're good with that.
Amen.
That's good. But we realize that I don't come into my pastor's pulpit because and to preach things that I know that he does not understand or that he does not stand for. Amen. That's not my place to do it. It's not my place to come into Brother Tony's pulpit and to preach the thing, the doctrinal things and the thing. Though I did a little bit last night, and maybe I shouldn't have. But it's not for me to come in there and to do those things. Brother Bram said, he said, when you're in another man's pulpit, he said, you do the work of an evangelist.
Right.
What does the work of evangelist do? The evangelist catches the sinner. The evangelist comes in and encourages the people. The evangelist comes in sometimes and burns the house down.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms, for the Lord is a great God and a great King. And he's above all gods.
Amen.
He should be number one. He should be, we get so loose and so lax many times. You know why that is? Because you failed to enter into a state of worship.
Amen.
Come on.
Right.
You failed to enter into a state of, you say, Brother Ben, I'm just not that guy. That's fine. But there better be a time, whether it be in your car or in your shower. There better be a time that God and you commune with one another.
Yeah, right.
You better have that time. For me, one of my best times is when I'm in my deer stand. Because when I'm in my deer stand, there's nothing else around me. Come on, somebody.
Right.
There's nothing else around because I can sit there and I have some of the best conversations with me and God in my deer stand. People ask me, why you like to hunt so good? That's why I like to hunt so good. That's my number one reason, is because if out there you can get away from those spirits. You can get away from the things that'll, you can get away from the ones that's trying to intercept the ball. Is that all right? We went on I went elk hunting here a couple of years ago up to Colorado. Good Lord willing, I'm going again this year. But out there, you know, you go 5 miles up the mountain, and I mean you're 5 miles from anything. There's no civilization around. There's nothing. And you go up that mountain, and we set up camp up there, and the only people you got with you is the ones you brought. And I like that. Because I go with brothers from the church, and we went up there, and they go for the same reason, you know. And we went out one time, and I'm off my subject, but you just bear with me, okay? But we went out one time, one morning, and we went out on what we call the rim. And as you come down off this, on the top of this rim, you look down, and in the very bottom, it's probably a 300 or 400 foot drop off. I mean, it's a long ways. I don't know exactly, but it's a long ways down there. I've got pictures of it, but it doesn't do it justice, the depth of it. And we were sitting there, and me and Brother Johnny was sitting up on top of that rim, and the sun was just starting to, it was starting to silhouette, and we had gotten everything out, and we had our calls out, and we had just gotten settled in, and we were sitting there talking, waiting on the sun to come up, and we was talking about the Lord, and we begin to, as the sun come up, he hit the elk calling, and he was up there bugling on the rim, and down in the bottom, an elk come out and bugle back to him, and him and I got to talking, and we got to talking about Brother Branham and that, how it was a deep calling to the deep, and where there's a deep calling, there's got to be a deep somewhere to respond. And before you know it, Brother David come down, and he had met us on the rim, and we had these elk down at the bottom. They was bugling, and we was talking with them, if you will, and there was Brother David and me and Brother Johnny. We got to talking, and we got to looking around. Before you know it, we started talking about the Lord and how that presence came down right in amongst where we was at, and Brother David began to cry, Brother Johnny began to cry, I was crying, and there was elk bugling down at the bottom, and I began to think, God, how wonderful you are, how great you are, God, you come out here, and you're worthy, and you're worthy of every praise that we could give you. God, let me give you an unfettered praise, one that doesn't depend on how I'm feeling. One that doesn't depend on this brother or that sister, but one that says, God, I'm going to worship the one true mighty God.
Amen.
The only one that can come and can change my situation that I'm in.
Right.
You sisters that raise these children, let me tell you, you've got maybe one of the hardest jobs on the face of the earth. You, because you're the pastor to those children, that's your congregation. Come on, somebody. My wife has a congregation of three. And sometimes I walk into that place and the pastor's a little weary. Come on. Pastor's a little weary. Because the congregation decided they was going to do whatever they wanted to do. Here we go again. Because the congregation decided that they was going to live any old life they wanted to live.
Uh-huh.
And the pastor grabs a hold of them, and I mean she beats them kids. You better, mama. But the evangelist daddy can't come in and contradict the pastor. You know,
parenting is one of those things that it takes three to parent.
Right.
Just as it takes three to make a marriage.
Right.
You know, it's not a marriage isn't a husband and a wife, but it's God a husband and a wife. God is a marriage, Brother Daniel, is built around the centerpiece of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And if it's built around that centerpiece, that marriage will stand the test of time. Because we know that if Christ is the centerpiece of that marriage, there'll be forgiveness in that marriage.
Right.
And let me tell you, you're going to need it.
Amen.
She's going to need it. I'm going to need it. I've had to forgive and she's had to forgive.
Right.
You're going to need forgiveness. And you're going to need joy. And you're going to need, I'm going to go here. You're going to need intimacy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you'd start talking about that word intimacy and everybody kind of... You know, those things done within the confines of a marriage... God called it a good thing.
Right.
A man that findeth a good woman and found a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
God calls those things a good thing. There's nothing wrong with those things. You've got a habit. And you adults know where I'm at.
Right.
You say, Brother Ben, why are you here? Because this all has to do with your spirituality.
Right.
You say, how in the world? Because the way you treat your wife, come on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Your wife's not your doormat. Your wife is the mother to your children. Hello?
Amen.
Now, you are the head of the home. And that wife, if she's the right wife, she submits to your headship.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to be a worthy head to follow.
That's right. Right.
Hello?
Amen.
You've got to prove yourself worthy to be followed.
Amen.
You've got a bunch of beasts out there trying to lead the home. You know, there's some things that just don't matter whether you see it eye to eye with me on.
Right.
Some things just don't matter. But you've got a good leader is one that has proven himself worthy to be followed.
Amen.
If I was to tell, all right, here we go. If I was to tell my wife that she had to go cut her hair, she doesn't have to follow under that headship. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have a real hard time with that.
Yeah.
Bless God, I'm the head of the home. You're supposed to be the head of the home.
Right.
That's what God called you to be.
Right.
But you're doing a real poor job at it.
Right.
It's not my opinion. That's not my opinion, Brother Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my opinion. My opinion is, you've got to love your wife as Christ also loved the church. We want to, well, wife, submit yourself to your own husbands, and we want to stop there.
Yeah.
And you should. You should, sis. If your husband's seeking after God, you should submit to him.
Mm-hmm.
You better submit to him because God's going to hold you accountable.
Amen.
Come on. But if that man is telling you to do things that is contrary to the word, but Tony, where am I at? We all right? If he's telling you things that are contrary to the word, God's the head. Come on. And follow me as I follow Christ. Huh? Follow me as I follow Christ. Because if I'm following Christ, the works that Christ does, I'll do also.
Right.
The things that Christ stands for, I'm going to stand for also. But the Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
Come on. Thought I was off somewhere, didn't you?
No.
You've got to follow Christ because he is the head. And if I'm following Christ, then that family is going to fall under subjection to those things. But as we started in there, I said I was on the pastor of the home. And you know, we've got Brother Brown said, he said it's not child delinquency. We hit on that a little bit last night, but it's parent delinquency today. You know, you've got the husband and wife. One says, "Oh, it's okay." The other one says, "No, it's not okay." And then that sows confusion in the home. Now, there are times that I do not agree with my wife's assertion. Come on. There are times that I do not agree with the way that she handled things, but I am not going to stand there in front of my children.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I'm not perfect. I have done it. But I've learned from the mistakes.
Right.
I'm not going to stand there in front of my children and correct my wife. We will have us a conversation in bed. And she's not going to stand there. I'm going to, whatever she says at that point, I'm going to come through, Brother Daniel, and I'm going to enforce that.
Amen.
You say, "Brother Ben, but you just said it was wrong." Maybe it was. But I'm going to come back and I'm going to validate that mama's word. Because if you come in and you contradict, I don't know why I'm here, but we're okay. Because if you come in and you contradict her, Brother Daniel, you've taken her effect. You've taken her influence. I sure like having you here. Next time, let's schedule me around his schedule. It gives me somebody to preach to. And he's good for it. But it takes, Brother Daniel, if Sister Vicky says something, you've got to come in, whether you agree with that thing or not, in front of the children, and you've got to validate that thing.
Amen.
Then you've got to have a conversation with her behind closed doors and say, "I think we handled that a little wrong."
Right.
Huh? But you can't never discredit her. You want them children to know that whatever mama says, daddy's going to come home and he's going to back it up big time. You say, "Why do we have the problems that we have in the church today?" Because mama and daddy are against each other. Because mama's pulling one direction and daddy's pulling this direction. Mama don't think you ought to whoop them, and daddy says you ought to whoop them. And you better whoop them. Your little junior's not just a little angel. Though we want to look at him and say, "Ay, he's so cute. Ain't she so precious?" Hey, I'm telling you, I ain't exempt. I've got three that they can look at me just in a certain way, and I'm telling you, they know what they're doing. They know exactly. Boy, it's hard being a preacher's kid. But they understand those things. You know, I was talking about an unfettered praise, but now we're dealing with the home.
That's all right.
Because somebody's pulling that way. Nothing's by chance. But you've got to come in and you've got to validate that thing. Now the evangelist can't come in and contradict the pastor.
Right.
But whenever the evangelist and the pastor sit down, hey, just lighten up on me, okay? I'm just typing things out, all right? Just lighten up, okay? I'm not going to cross my T's and dot my I's. Come on. Just lighten up.
All right.
But I got to come in and we have that conversation and I say, "I think maybe that should have been hey, and by the way, you know how many conversations she's had with me?" "Your wife correcting the husband? You betcha." You betcha. Because you know what? I get a little bit arrogant sometimes. Well, I guess I'm the only man in here. I don't care. There it is right there. I got another honest one. You know, sometimes you get a little bit bold. You get a little arrogant. You think, I know better. Then your wife just kind of comes through and kicks your feet up from underneath you. That's what God gave her to you for. To keep you true, to keep you honest, to keep you straight.
Amen.
I cherish the opinion of my wife. You know, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to have the final say. Right. At the end of the day. At the end of the day, it's going to be whatever Daddy says. She knows that, I know that, and we both agree to that, and we both respect that. But that opinion to me is worth an awful lot.
Amen.
That opinion has a very direct impact on Daddy's final decision.
Right.
Now, there are times that I make the decision that is not expedient to what both of us think, because I have to make the decision that I see is right.
Right.
Huh? And that's part of being the head of the home. But whenever it comes to those children, you want children that see the fear of God in the home. You can't just lead them and say that's the way we do it because that's the way we do it. No, you do it because this is the way Jesus wants us to do it. Is that all right? But we look and we see how that the devil comes in and he gets into the families. And that will also shackle your praises up. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That will shackle you in a way to where, you know, I can sit in the church and I'm the deacon there at the church and I sit on that back row and I see a lot. You can 98% of the time you can see who had a real good conversation on the way to church and you can see who had a really bad conversation on the way to church. And you watch those ones that come in and they're in harmony, they come to with one thing in mind, and you watch them and that you can see God come down and you deal with them, and then you watch them that come in and the devil had gotten their car. The devil riding to church with you this morning? Some of y'all say I drive separate. The devil drives the other car. You watch and you can see how that God will come down and he'll do something for those because they're in harmony, they're in peace. Come on, somebody.
Right, yeah.
And then you watch those others. Now, I'm not saying God can't use them, because I've watched some of them sit in that church service and worship their way to freedom.
Yeah.
I've watched them come in and there's such division and the kids are running everywhere and this and that and it's in disarray. But I've watched them come in and you'll watch them and they're pressing their way. What is that called? That's called a sacrificial praise.
Right.
And they'll press their way, but their work is so much harder. Their work is so much harder because they come in and they've been bombarded and bombarded. We got young people today that have been bombarded and bombarded. And you've got young people in this church today that have been bombarded and bombarded. And they have a very hard time coming in because they've got to press through that. I don't care if you homeschool them. I don't care if they live. I don't care if you put them in a rubber room. They're still subject to the devils of this world. Nowadays you can't walk out of your front door without some sort of filth being present. You can't walk down the street without some sort of filth being present. Now Holy Ghost filled men walk around counting pebbles on the road. Because they can't look up.
Right.
They can't look over here because we've got naked women everywhere.
That's right. Right.
What is it? It's that devil. He takes a woman. I'm not preaching against women. But he'll take a woman, and what was it? It was in the Garden of Eden. He took a woman. And what is it? The devil's thing is beauty. Beauty, beauty. And you know, you look and they paint them up like a barn now. You can take, you know, I remodel houses also. And you can take, we just bought an old house. We turned it into a rental, but we bought that old thing. The floors was caving in. It was condemned. It was bad. And I walked in and the price was right.
Yeah.
I seen it on Craigslist. I text my wife. I sent her a picture of this thing. And you just got to see the house to appreciate it. I sent her a picture of this thing, and I said, what do you think? And if I remember correctly, there was some question marks in the reply. But what was it? I looked, and when I come in, and I seen that thing. Come on. You know, you look at it, and we went in, and that thing, when I went and looked at this thing that evening, it hit Craigslist that morning, and that evening, the price was so good on it that evening, whenever I went over there to look at it after I got off work, one other guy. There had been multiples there while he was there, but there was one other guy there with me, and he was walking around it. Of course, I'm sitting there saying, wow, that's pretty bad. Yeah, probably really not worth the money. You know how you do. Come on, you know how you do. If you're human like I am, you're looking for the deal. Right? That's right. I'm going to try to talk Brother Daniel out of my blessing. You betcha. Brother Daniel, you don't want that. What would you do with that? Huh? But I walked in there, and there was these people, and so I called this lady that had it. She lived in Florida, and she was just wanting rid of it. She said she had tried to sell it, couldn't get no buyers, couldn't so on and so forth. So I called her, and I took the time to communicate with her. Something you learn to do in my business. I took the time to communicate with her and to connect with her on a personal level. A lot of times the preacher wants to connect with you on a personal level. You say, what are you doing, Brother Ben, this morning? I'm connecting with you on a personal level, very personal in some cases. But we walk in there, we're trying to get to beauty here, but we walked in there, we looked at it, and the city condemned it, and anyhow, I showed her an offer that was way lower, and she had other offers at that same price. She goes, well, I've got several other offers at that price already, but I was the only one that took the time to connect with her personally. Now, I'm not pumping me up, okay? I'm just making a point.
Right.
So, day or two went by. She called me back. She said, we're going to sell it to you. And so we got the paperwork drawn up and everything. And we went in. And Brother Daniel, I ain't kidding you. You could stand in the front of this thing and you could throw a cat through it and it never touched nothing until it hit the other side. There was holes in this thing everywhere. It was pathetic. As a matter of fact, Chris walked into the house. I had him working on it. He walked in and fell right through the floor. Fell right through the floor. Hurt himself bad. But that's how bad this thing was. And you know, we went in there, we went through, we replaced the floors. We're going to update that thing. And you know, it, on the outside now, it looks pretty good. Yeah. And I told Tiffany the other day, I said, you know how many sick people there are in Carl Junction right now? Because they couldn't catch the vision of what it could be cleaned up.
Right.
Come on. But what is it in this day and age? The devil is about the beauty, and he'll take the women and he'll paint that building.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And it's like that house. I can take it and I can put new siding on it. We put new windows in it. We're doing everything we can. But underneath it, it's as ugly as sin. Some of you young men that struggle with the women of this age, you pull the paint off of that and see what you're left with.
Right.
It's a false beauty.
Yeah.
Come on. Now, a beautiful woman is one that doesn't need painting. One that doesn't need an update. Mm-hmm. One that doesn't need remodeled. Come on. There's a lot of women out there undergoing remodeling. I'm telling you right now, there's some out there that need to go undergo remodeling, but it's the type that you get from the altar.
Yeah.
There's a remodeling that God does. He takes all the old off.
Yeah.
He takes all that old off and he puts on the new.
Yeah.
And let me tell you right now, it looks good. But you take the paint off of them and let's see what you're left with. Well, is that all right?
It's all right.
What is it? It's a devil of deception.
Yeah.
What's it doing? It's trying to catch this one and catch that one, trying to pull them off and lead them down a road to hell, and all the time it's just a painted building.
Right.
You've got to look beyond the paint and see what it is.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. But we want to, we take and we look and we see how that the devil's about beauty. He's about anything that is catchy, about anything that's, you look at that, I got to move on. But he's about anything that's catchy, and he'll try to pull mainly the young people. No, that ain't true. I've seen a lot of 50, 60 year old men that he's still pulling with that. What'd you do? He takes that woman. Now, we said last night that a woman is a type of the church.
Right.
And he takes that church and he starts pulling it. Now, we're going to get into it here in just a minute. And he takes that church and he starts pulling people away with deception. Come on.
Right.
The devil uses a woman, okay? No, and that ain't the only thing he uses. That's just what I'm using right now as an illustration, okay? But you use that woman, and the devil uses that woman, the church. Now, there's a difference between church and bride.
Yeah.
This is not the church.
Right.
I hope.
Right.
I hope it's not the church. Because if this is a church, I'll never be back. Because you guys don't want me back. Because I done hurt your feelings. Huh?
Right.
I don't believe that. I don't believe I'm preaching to the church. I believe I'm preaching to the bride of this last day.
Amen.
The bride of Jesus Christ. The one that says, God, if you gotta beat me, beat me. God, if you gotta hurt me, hurt me. God, if you gotta break me, break me.
Right.
You ever been in a church service and you say, God, I that hurt, but God, I'm gonna take it.
Yeah.
That's the right approach. Sometimes Brother Eric will come in, or these other brothers will come in. Brother Timothy will come in sometimes, and boy, he'll just cut you right to the bone.
Uh-huh.
And you're sitting there going, ow. But you know he's right. But you know, our humanity a lot of times when it takes issue with the preacher.
Uh-huh.
We fight so many fleshly battles amongst the saints. We fight so many fleshly battles amongst us. I say, get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your brother. It's not your sister. If they're right, they're right. Whether I think I'm right or not, I'm wrong. You know what that goes back to? Pride.
Uh-huh.
What are we talking about? An unfettered praise. We're talking about all your fetters that are on you. When I say yeah, me too. We're talking about all those fetters that come in and they bind you, and they steal your joy, they steal your peace, they steal your understanding.
Right.
Come on. They steal all of those things away from you. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Verse 4 says, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship, bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. What is that? What is David talking about? He's pulling a picture of praise. He's pulling a picture of worship. You know, everything that you do, it always comes back to worship. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're at spiritually. If you want to understand the deep things of God, it comes back to worship. It comes back to creating an atmosphere of worship in your home, in your heart. It comes back to a place of creating an atmosphere of worship. You say, you know, Brother Paul LaFontaine, I think, was the one talking about it last weekend. He said, we're always too concerned with who's going to bring the next great big deep thing. And I thought, you know, that is so true. I thought, that is so true. We're so concerned with who's going to bring the next big earth-shattering revelation in the message today. To be honest with you, I'm interested in something that'll change your life.
Yeah.
You know, the I believe you should understand those things. You understand? I believe you should have an understanding. I don't preach ignorance by no means. I think you should have those things. But a lot of times, that's not what's going to catch the sinner.
Right.
That's not what's going to give these young men something to fight with.
Right.
That's not what's going to give you something that you're going to need tomorrow. I think that ministers should be looking for something that's going to equip the people. Something that's going to equip somebody to go out and to wage a good warfare.
Amen.
Because you know what? You fight a very real battle.
Right.
You live in a very real world. I live in a very real world. I want a God that's a I am God.
Right.
One that's now. One that's here. Not the yesterday. Not tomorrow. But the today. I need to know a God. Come on. I need to know and understand God today. I need Him to come down and address my family problems. I need Him to come down and address my finances. I need Him to come down and address my physical body. I need Him to come down and address my hatred and my malice and my strife and my jealousy and my lust. I need Him to come down and address those things. I need that God to come down and be personal to me. I need Him to come down and be a personal God. I'm not interested in a God that's not personal. But we become so cold and formal and dead. Until you couldn't, you know, people couldn't squeeze God out of you if they tried.
Right.
Why is that? Why do we get that way? Why are we so formal? Come on. Come on. It happens in Moundville too. People get to thinking, well, you're talking about me. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the devil.
Right.
That wants to come in and get us cold and complacent. To where we're so comfortable.
Yep.
You know, does he deal with you that way? Where he comes in and he wants to get you so, well, it's just Brother Tony. It's just Brother Daniel. No, it's not. That's the voice of God in this day.
Yeah.
You can't do away with the ministry. The ministry, we have a fivefold ministry, and we realize that Joshua or Moses fell off the scene, then it transferred to a Joshua ministry, which Brother Brown said was the type of Holy Ghost. No, Brother Brown's not going to take you on in.
Right.
Hello?
Amen.
Brother Brown's not going to take you on in. It's going to be the Holy Ghost. Which, may I say, is the ministry of this last day. Which is the ministry, the fivefold ministry of this last day. That's what it's going to take you on in. Moses never came back. You can't break the types. Moses never came back and took up the children on into the promised land. Elijah never came back.
Right.
It transferred to Elisha.
Right.
Hello? Watch what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Watch and make sure that it rings true back to Scripture.
Amen.
You can't do away with this fivefold ministry. Though a lot have tried. But you know, we're going to keep preaching God in the power, in His power and resurrection.
Amen.
We're going to preach God, Jesus Christ, in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
It's God in you. You are Christ Jesus walking in shoe leather today.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that this morning?
Yeah.
Do you believe that this morning that you are Christ Jesus walking in shoe leather today?
Right.
Not your flesh.
Right.
Your flesh was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You cannot take the two and bring them one.
Right. Yeah.
That's what the problem is with Christianity today. They want to look at the flesh of the man. Not Christianity, the message of the day. They want to look at the flesh of the man, and they want to, Brother Daniel, I want to perfect the flesh. Yeah. This word didn't come to perfect this.
Right.
And but that's what we base everything off of.
Come on.
Am I wrong? No, I'm right.
Yeah.
You base everything off of your flesh.
Yeah.
But it's not about your flesh.
Right.
Your flesh was born in sin, shaped in the iniquity, and came into the world speaking lies. This flesh is, I've said it many times, the devil's inheritance.
Right.
Now you've got to know where you're standing to talk like this.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you don't know where you're standing, you're sitting there going, well, he's off his rocker. But the thing of it is this is the devil's inheritance. This is what God, what the devil has to operate in.
Right, right.
That being said, God uses this too.
Yeah.
What's he do? He takes a man and he anoints him
right.
to preach the gospel. You're the lips of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
He said in Genesis, the dead serpent was cast to the ground. You'll be to the ground. You'll crawl on your belly, and dust shall you eat the rest of your days. You're made up of 16 elements of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
This is inheritance.
Right.
What are you saying, Brother Ben? I'm not preaching go do anything you want. You know that, or you better know that.
Right.
I'm not preaching that. I believe that whenever the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes in, it not only changes your heart, but it comes to on the inside and it works to the outside. I believe that you try to do the works that are right, but I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're William Branham himself. You're still born in sin, shaped in iniquity.
Right.
I don't care if you're Elijah or Elisha or Paul. They was born in sin and shaped in iniquity.
Yeah.
Paul said, those things that I would not, I do. And those things that I would, I do not.
Right.
In other words, he sent this in daily.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Right.
But there's that deity spirit that runs around and and make him something that he wasn't. You know, you gotta give him the grace to be man.
Yeah. Right.
Give him the grace to be a human.
Right.
It's just like your pastor. Give him that. People get so fussy at the pastor because they seen him in his humanity.
Yeah.
He put his pants on one leg at a time, just like I did this morning.
Right.
Huh? His wife, she's got a hard job. Because she's got to look at him after he's had a really bad day and he's ugly. Come on. She's seen him in his worst. Sister Vicky's seen you in your worst, and it's ugly, ain't it? That's right. Huh? My wife sees me at my worst. But you know what? She also sees you at your best. She also sees you at your best. But they've got a job to do. These sisters, these three sisters that are sitting here this morning, they've got to sit there and they've got to say, that ain't hubby. But that's God. That's God speaking to me. And that is a very hard thing to do. That's why pastors a lot of times separate themselves from the sheep. That's why the pastor will never, ever quite be the friend that Brother Daniel can be to me. Because he's holding that testimony. Because he knows his humanity.
Right.
And he knows that if you see him in his humanity, your humanity wants to lose respect
mm-hmm.
for that office.
That's right.
And whenever he loses your respect, he also loses his effectivity.
Right.
Look, if I can't affect people, I might as well quit. If I can't reach people's lives, you might as well quit. Come on.
Yeah.
Boy, y'all have pulled me everywhere this morning. I often say I don't even know why I bother to study. Because I never used any of it. But you know, Brother Perry Green said one time, he says, He says, whenever you're studying, you prepare like you ain't got no God. He said, and whenever you're preaching, you depend on God like you didn't do no studying.
Yeah.
He said, but whenever you're studying, you act like you ain't got no God and it's all you. He said, but when you're up there preaching, he said, you better walk up to that pulpit knowing that you're nothing.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. You've got arrogant people. And that's the problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. I pray, God, don't never let us get there. And you know, I think honestly, you're listening not, but you listen to the greatest minister on the face of the earth. Some of the greatest men on the face of the earth, you're a partaker and a recipient of that. You're a blessed people. People, men that's going to stand and they're going to walk right down the middle of the road, Brother Tony. Not too far over here in grace and not too far over here in law. Because both is wrong. But you got to bring them both together and bring them right down to the middle of the road. You got to take the grace and the law and bring them together. Not make grace a disgrace, but not make it to where no man's saved either. There's a lot of legalism in the message today.
Right.
That's as wrong as the grace crowd.
Right.
The one that says you can cut your hair, sister. You can. It's all under the blood anyhow. It's all, you're predestinated. That's too much grace. That's grace that's become a disgrace. You can wear them shorts, brother. It's not a big deal. A woman's not attracted to a man's body. Come on.
Amen.
That's making grace a disgrace. But you got to bring it down to the middle of the road, and you got to bring them both together. You know, I don't want a hard right or a hard left. I want to bring it together. What did the message of the hour say about it? And what did the Bible say about it? I mean, let's find that happy medium. You know what I mean?
Right.
Amen. We're going to finish up this chapter, and then we're going to call it done. I'm sorry. I've gotten way off point, but I got to do as I feel that I'm supposed to do this morning.
Yeah.
Both services have been a little bit different this weekend. Sometimes that's good.
Yeah.
Verse 7 says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart. As in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw me work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest. Oh, sing into my rest. Chapter 96, verse 1 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. You say, Brother Ben, what are you saying this morning? I'm saying that no matter where you find yourself this morning, if you'll get real with this God, he'll come down and he'll change your heart.
Yeah.
And maybe you've walked with him for years, I don't know. But you've got to come to a place to where over and over again. You know, a relationship is a recurring over and over and over again. And then same way with God. It's not a one and done.
Right.
But it's a renewing and it's a refreshing over
and over and over again. How many could say this morning they would like that refreshing this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. The musicians would come. God bless you this morning. I'm certainly grateful to be with you this weekend. And as I said earlier, we always enjoy our time here. Trust that something been said that would encourage you along your way and give you something to fight with. Let's bow our hearts this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we are so grateful, Father, for the presence, Father, that we felt in this place this morning. Lord, though the word, Father, sometimes comes, Lord, and it's cutting sometimes, Lord, Lord, if I said anything that would have been wrong or in the wrong spirit, God, Lord, please forgive me, Lord. God, but I believe the people know my heart, Lord. They know I would never do nothing to hurt or intentionally Lord, to lead astray intentionally. Lord, that's not my desire this morning, God. But God, my true desire this morning, Lord, is to see you fall, Lord. Lord, to fall in the power of your resurrection this morning, God. Come, Lord, brood over this people this morning, God. Lord, I don't know what the needs of the people were, Lord, but God, surely you can provide, Lord. Oh, God, would you just move, Father, amongst us, Lord, as we worship you now, Lord, as we praise you, Lord, come and have it, the praises of your people, Lord, change hearts, Lord. Lord, give a refilling of the Holy Ghost to those that would desire it, Lord. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord. Oh God, we know, Father, that Lord, if we'll only keep our eyes on Jesus, Lord, on that quarterback, as it were, Lord, as he's screaming out, "Get back in line, Lord! Get back in line, Lord!" He's looking down the field and he's saying, "You got to come over to the right just a little bit. I'm going to throw this healing to you, but you got to catch it. I'm going to throw this peace to you, but you got to catch it. I'm going to throw this joy to you, but you've got to catch it." God, I believe this morning, Lord, you're here, Lord, and you want to do the supernatural amongst us this morning, God. Now, Lord, would you move in this place, Lord, in a mighty way this morning, God. Lord, would you just tear down every barrier, tear down every obstacle, Lord. Lord, if there's mothers here or there's fathers here that, Lord, they don't understand, they don't know where to turn, Lord, may they come running to Jesus this morning, Lord. Lord, if there's husbands and wives, dear God, that are not doing well, Lord, would you put that relationship back together this morning, God? Lord, would you bring them back into communion with you, Lord? Lord, I'm asking this morning that, God, you would just fall, Father, right now. Tear down every barrier. Tear down every wall. Lord, as we begin to worship you, we begin to praise you, we begin to pull that presence right down. Lord, we invite you into the pew with us this morning. Lord, search our hearts this morning. Lord, search our lives this morning. God, if you find anything, Lord, that would be unpleasing to you, oh God, would you come down and by the power of your resurrection, Lord, would you burn that thing from out of us this morning, Lord, that, God, we could be true sons and daughters, Lord, hearers and doers of this word, Lord. Lord, one that, Father, they could say signs and wonders, Father, they follow them people, Lord. Lord, we know, Father, that in the last days, Father, there'll be a true bride. There'll be one that's not tainted, one that's without spot, one that's without wrinkle, Lord. And Lord, I'm asking this morning, God, that, Lord, you would come and you would prepare a bride, Lord, because we know all of heaven is screaming out, "Come up higher." Lord, heaven's awaiting, Father. We know, Father, that it takes a wife to make a home, Lord. And Lord, all of heaven this morning is waiting on the bride to come, Lord, and hang the pictures on the wall, as it were. Lord, coming, Father. Lord, waiting on her to come and make heaven a home this morning, Lord. Lord, we know, Father, you said, "I go in to prepare a place for you." But Lord, it's a man can build it. Lord, you can build a home, a house, Lord, but it takes a bride to make that house a home, Lord. And Lord, it takes this bride, Father, to make heaven complete this morning, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for that presence, Lord. Lord, now brood over us for just a little while. Receive our worship now, Lord. We love you this morning. In Jesus Christ's name. Brother Tim, if you'll start that for us this morning. Now worshiping this morning, saints, with all of your heart.
You are great. You do miracles.
Worshiping this morning, saints. Lift your hands up to Him this morning and worship your Creator this morning. Worship Him this morning. Hold that presence in amongst you this morning. You have a need this morning. He's here and He's great. He does miracles. He's not dead, but He's alive.
See, Brother Ben has a big plow with a long shank and dig really deep. But you know, this is a good time of year for, you know, for gardening. This is when you start trying to plant your garden. And you are the steward over your own heart, your own garden. And there are things that are in there, and everything that's resident in there will not stay the way it is today. It will grow. Whether it's good or bad, it will grow. And you are the steward over what's in your garden. And many times I find out there's just too much grass and too much weeds in my garden, and one of the best things to do is till it up.
That's right.
I'll till it up, and I'll come along behind that with a pitchfork. I got two of them. One's got wide blades, but I've got one that's got little tiny blades close together, and I'll pick up everything in there and shake, and all the dirt will fall through. And what's left on the pitchfork is the rocks and weed chunks and things like that, and then I'll throw it out. And what am I doing? I'm throwing out the things that don't belong. Now, I can't do that if I don't break it up. Okay, so I'm just saying this morning, Brother Ben has broke up the ground. Now you take your pitchfork, and you know what it is that's laying there that's not right. you pitch it out. This is a good time to do it. He's made it easy this morning for you to identify anything that you need to address, and last night the same way. So just do that. Throw it out. You're the steward. I can't do it, right? So you throw it out and plant what you want in there right now, because he's made it easy for you to plant the right things in there this morning. So we certainly want to do that. And he said a lot of good things, a lot of good comments. I will mention one. He was talking about husbands and wives. As a supervisor at work, I have a boss who obviously tells me the things that he wants things done a certain way. And well, I go out and I try to present to my guys as clear of an image to them as what he has given me. And it used to be years ago, it's not happened for a long time, but he'd change his mind when everybody's working. He'd come along and see something. He'd change his mind. He'd tell my guys to do something different. And guess what? He didn't tell me. So then I come along, and now there's a conflict. Because I'm still trying to do it, to present to them exactly what he told me, and he's went behind my back, not realizing what he's done. And now there's a conflict between me and my guys because I'm still... And so then you find out quickly, they say, well, he come along and, okay, so it's not a problem. But see, he undermined, not even realizing what he was doing, he was undermining the very job that he's given me authority to do. Don't do that to your spouse. Right? Don't do that to your spouse. And I will say this for husbands and wives, you stay in close communion on these issues, and it'll make it to where you don't have to come back and correct things. Right? So truly the husband is the ultimate word in the house. But communicate, right? So that way when the wife has to set something in order in the home, what she sets in order isn't wrong. It's right. So dad can come along behind her and he can back her up. But if you have to do something, don't let it be done in front of the kids, right? Don't let you do it. And that's the same way at work. If I disagree with my boss, it won't be in front of my workers, right? Because they won't, like you said, they will not follow the confusion. Amen. We want to be very, very precise in what we present. And so there is no confusion. So I appreciate what the Lord has sent to us this morning, last night. It's good. And I trust that you'll take what you've heard. And I'll say this again this morning, as I did last night. If you have questions about anything you heard, I write it down, come to me, come to Brother Daniel, whatever, and let's get the question out there, and we will certainly give personal time, personal attention, or pulpit attention to that, whatever that topic is, if you have a question about any of these things. Amen. God bless you. Let's just worship again as we get ready to go. I want to thank Brother Ben and his family for being with us. Amen.
You are great.